For at least a decade, tournament poker has meant big money. The last winner of the World Series of Poker took home more than $8.3 million for being the last man standing. That was 23-year-old Ryan Reese. These days, the most successful players are likely to be wearing things like hoodies and listening to things like iPods. Many of the big names are millennials. But how in the world does a 20-something become a poker pro? Well, Brooks Haxton got to see it up close. His son Isaac became a major player online and won big money in casino poker tournaments, and he eventually moved to Las Vegas to play full-time. How Isaac became a player and how Dad felt about it is recounted in Fading Hearts on the River, My Son's Life in Poker. And Brooks Haxton joins us now. Brooks, welcome to KNPR.
Thank you for having me.
Well, for people who are not poker aficionados, we should explain that the title of your book's got some meaning. Help us understand that. What does Fading Hearts on the River mean?
Well, the river is the last card you get face up on the table in Texas Hold'em. It's the fifth card. And when you're fading hearts on the river, it means you have a winning hand, but that if your opponent gets a fifth heart to complete his heart flush, he will win and beat you. And that's, you're said to be fading hearts on the river, as if you could affect the random fall of the final card. You could fade it out of existence. You're fading hearts on the river.
Okay. So what was your interest in poker before your son Isaac started playing in tournaments?
Well, you know, I started playing when I was a little boy, just penny ante games or just chip games with friends and family, and I've always played. It's a great game.
How did you discover your son was serious about playing it, that he'd gone from late-night dorm games, say, to making significant money from it?
Well, he was serious about games a long time before poker. He was serious about checkers and made me teach him chess before he was in grade school. And he won his first chess tournament, and he was really serious about chess. And then he got serious about magic cards a little bit later. He was serious about any game he played. You know, he played baseball. He wanted to learn how to throw strikes. It was just his native disposition. He wanted to compete. Hmm. And by the time poker came along, which was really freshman year, he got in college, he got pretty serious about poker. He'd been very serious about a lot of games before that, so it was no surprise that he was serious about that. It was just a surprise how much money was involved.
Right. Was there a night where he just came home and said, "Hey, Dad, I got to tell you, I'm way up in the 28% income bracket now, tax bracket."
He came home from freshman year in college and he said, "You know, I don't want to work a factory job again this summer like I did last summer. I think I want to stay home and play poker online." And I said, "You think you can make money doing that?" He said, "Well, I've been making some money doing that." And I said, "Well, if he was pretty good at figuring what to expect, so I said, "Okay, well, that sounds good. Give it a try." Figuring, you know, that it wouldn't pan out.
Yeah,
but
what did you think was going to happen?
$40,000 that summer playing poker. So it panned out pretty well.
Panned out pretty well indeed. So Isaac was a computer science student at Brown.
That's right.
Didn't you feel a little twinge of regret that he might be giving away the chance to develop something like, say, the next big thing in high tech?
Yeah, I did. That came along his junior year. He was very serious about his academics. First 3 years in school and got a lot of his requirements. There are a lot of requirements for a computer science degree, you know, and he took care of them and he did well, made good grades. And then his junior year, he just got tired of it. He didn't want to write any more code. That was enough of that. And he'd gotten good at poker in the meantime. And it looked like the computer science jobs just wouldn't pay as well as playing poker. But he was only a couple of courses from finishing the requirements for the degree. So when he came to his mother and me and said, "I'm going to stop doing computer science. I just don't want to write any more code," we tried to talk him into getting the couple of courses he needed to finish that degree. He did graduate. He finished college eventually. But He didn't do any more computer science. He just felt he didn't have a passionate interest in it.
You mentioned, too, in telling the story, that your son used a screen name that suggested he was smoking a lot of dope because he figured it would
fool
the other players.
Feed My Ball was one of his early screen names. You know, part of what people do is they make up these silly screen names just as a kind of a smoke screen. You've got a really silly sounding screen name so you can't be a serious player. You know? Mm-hmm. And Feed My Bong was one of his, so I think it worked pretty well.
Yeah, just lures him right into the trap. Huh? Now, when the book opens, Isaac is on the edge of a really big tournament win, a seven-figure win. Describe that situation of being one of the last two players left at the table.
It was his first final table. It was the first time he'd cashed in a tournament. He took a year off after his junior year in college. He called us on the phone at the last minute and said, I think I'm going to take a year off from college now and play poker full time. And we said, well, how much money do you think you're going to make doing that? And he said, $1 million. So we said, oh, that sounds like a good idea. And he did. You know, he got into this tournament in the Bahamas, the Poker Stars Caribbean Adventure, which is a huge tournament, and he was playing well, of course, but you have to get really lucky to win a tournament, and he got lucky over and over and over again. Got to the final table, and he was heads up against another math whiz, Ryan Dowd, who was doing graduate work in mathematics at the time. And two kids, you know, in their early 20s, and playing for first prize of $1.5 million and second prize of $861,000. I was working at the time. I just couldn't believe that there was this kind of money on the table, you know?
As you note, you're an English professor and a poet. Your wife is a psychiatrist. Do the two of you have some ambivalence toward your son or anyone who can, you know, with the turn of a few cards, make so much money at gambling?
It's not something we ever expected for Isaac. The thing you want for your children's lives, I've got two daughters as well, is that they find something that makes them excited about pursuing their work, you know? And that's what poker is for Isaac. It's a set of really challenging problems that he finds interesting every day.
Do you worry for him about the steadiness of it? I mean, it's mathematical stuff over time. You mentioned in the book that Isaac had some big losing streaks.
Oh, yeah, everybody does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how do you teach your son about, you know, feast and famine like that?
Well,
or do they just have to experience it? He teaches you.
He's with the algorithms that he was using to play, there wasn't any way that that a disaster could befall him of the kind that I've seen befall other people. Gambling is a very tricky pursuit, and it does a lot of damage to a lot of people. But if you have Isaac's mindset about it, it's more like forming an actuarial table for an insurance company. You know what I mean? Everybody's going to get the same luck over the long run. And the players who have figured out how to play with maximum skill over that long run are the ones who are going to turn out winning.
We're talking with Brooks Haxton. He is an author and a poet, and his new book is called Fading Hearts on the River, My Son's Life in Poker. And it talks about Brooks's son, Isaac, who moved to Las Vegas not too long ago after growing into a champion poker player, and he plays full-time poker here. So, Brooks Haxton, I mean, do you look at this and just think, hey, my son is just, you know, my son's smarter than I am at this point. I mean, is he?
Yeah,
Was it that, or was it just that he found?
I think I'm pretty smart. I'm not being modest. You know, I think I'm pretty smart. I just think he's smarter than I am.
You mentioned in the book that you write to understand things, to work things out. What was the most surprising thing you learned about your son in the course of writing this book?
I think it was great just interviewing him and talking to him about how he thinks about things. It was just good, because I was interested in how poker fits into a whole life, you know. So I just, having a broad sense of Isaac's life from very particular questions that would have been pretty nosy if I didn't have the excuse of writing a book to ask him, was great for me. And I really appreciated their being with me in that. It was a good experience. But beyond that, I developed a really vivid sense of what poker players are working on, which was something that I hadn't really understood before. I understood better how the sense of probability as a background for understanding everything is probably the most important development in Western thinking since the Renaissance. And I really hadn't thought it through carefully. But if you think about it, you know, the huge developments in culture, in thought, have involved appreciating the probabilistic sense of physics, how subatomic particles behave, the probabilistic sense of genetics, how the DNA combines, which means to understand the whole history of life on the planet, involves understanding cause and effect, which is our intuitive understanding of things, as a kind of sequel to probabilities. So
all of this, and this is territory that at the center of it, here's a poker player.
Here's
something like that.
So it changes your sense of, your son is sitting at the table and he's thinking, okay, what are the probabilities? How do I develop a purposeful pattern of behavior in response to these probabilities? It's really kind of the fundamental problem of human existence, right?
All this hinging on whether...
It's a fundamental problem.
Yeah, all this hinging on what comes up on the river. Huh?
Something turns up, and then you've got to behave in a particular way that represents your response to what turns up, and then somebody's got to interpret your way of behaving. There's a whole social world that's involved where you make choices in your behavior. It's like basketball players on the court, right? They're moving their feet and their opponents are following their movements, but they've learned ways of moving that make their opponents think they're doing things that they're not going to do, right? That's what poker players are doing every step of the game.
Brooke Saxton's new book is called Fading Hearts on the River. It details his son Isaac's experience as a professional poker player. We've got a link to the book at our website, knprnews.org. Brooke Saxton, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you.